Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this very rainy Tuesday morning, May the 19th, 2020, 18 minutes past the hour. And we're just going to let you know that wherever you are in the county, there could be floods. I have seen flooding in Delaware. In apartment complex parking lots this morning. I have seen the pictures sent to me from listeners, and it is a rough morning. So I know there's flooding in Prospect for sure. I know there's flooding in Marion for sure in certain places. And I know there is flooding in Delaware. So be careful wherever you are. And if you want to send us pictures and you want to send us roads that are out, please feel free to do so. Shoot us a picture on Facebook. You can send it to the WWGH 107.1 FM Facebook page, or you can send them to my personal Facebook page, Scott Spears, or email us at scott@wwgh1071.com. Now, this morning here, we've got a lot going on this week with the pandemic that we are currently in, COVID-19 coronavirus, or COVID-19, however you call it. There has been some conjecture on when the restaurants are going to reopen. The date is May 21st. Some people have said 25th. I think at one point we were saying 25th on the air. That is wrong. It's the 21st. The 21st, I believe, is Thursday, so only a couple days away. And with all that being said, we've got a great guest list this morning. During the 9 o'clock hour, we will be joined by the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer. Right after our first guest, we're going to be joined by Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. But we are going to kick off the program this morning with a first time visitor and a very good guest to have on with all this going on this week. He is Tyler Pigman. He is the EH Environmental Health Director for Marion Public Health. Tyler, how are you?
Hey, Scott. Great to be on. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. Fantastic. First time, long time listener. You know, I think we've met socially a couple times through my friend Curry Klingel, but first time being interviewed. So looking forward to it.
Well, hopefully the first of many.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad to come on. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, and I'm sure you got lots of questions for me.
I do, Tyler. Now, the first thing, because this date for some reason has been confusing for people, when do the restaurants open back up inside?
You are absolutely correct. On Thursday, 5/21. But you know what? It's easy to get mixed up. There are so many things opening right now with so many different time schedules. I got a calendar on my desk with the different dates for, you know, campgrounds, restaurants, day camps, gyms. Everything's different. It's a little confusing, but you know what? I think we're all gonna get through this.
I think you're exactly right. Now, Tyler, before we get into all the things that are opening and what we need to know about that, let people know what you do. What does an EH Environmental Health Director do here in Marion County?
Sure. I've been at the health department for 13 years, going on 14 here soon, and I think it's a super interesting division at the health department. The Environmental Health Division, we're more or less the regulatory body. We license restaurants, pools, campgrounds, septic tanks, wells. We do follow up on the nuisances in the county, if it's a tire, solid waste nuisance. If someone is living in a home that possibly needs condemned. That there's a hazard to that home, whether it's no water or lead hazard, we get involved. We do a variety, we do a vast amount of things. We have some grant programs. We help our different jurisdictions, the city, the township, the villages with mosquito control. We've had some lead programs in the past. So we do a great variety of things for the city. And most people might know of my division because we have the inspectors. My team, they go out, they inspect the restaurants. They'll inspect the nuisance. They inspect a great many things throughout the county. We follow up on dog bites, that type of thing. So we do, we're kind of silent, but we're the people trying to make everything safe in Marion County.
It sounds like a big job, I would imagine.
It's a big job, but I tell everybody, we have a youth and government day. I say, you know what? It's the best job you can get. There's never a dull moment. When you're an inspector, you're not really tied to the desk. I will say, as a director, I am tied to the desk. But my job is making sure my employees get quality inspections, but also I handle all the finances for my division and any type of training my employees need. That's more or less falls under me.
Tyler, I would imagine, because none of us have ever been through a pandemic, that this is going to be a unique week for your office, a unique week certainly for all of us. And one of the big questions is, on the 21st, when these restaurants reopen inside, what needs to be going on? What has to happen in every restaurant in Marion County, because that's what we're concerned with, we all live here, for a restaurant to reopen? What rules do they have to follow?
To be honest with you, Scott, it's been a big couple months for us. this week and next week, there'll be a lot of stuff opening, but in regards to the restaurants, it's going to be, I don't know if I have many surprises for you. It's going to be a lot of common sense stuff we've been doing. It's going to be making sure there's 6 feet between tables, between employees, keeping that social distancing. If that 6 feet isn't there, we're looking for physical barriers. Now, physical barriers can be a variety of things. There's restaurants out there. I will say, we were having a lot of bars call us putting plexiglass up, which is fantastic. That's a great physical barrier. But very high booths, that works. There's places that have put up like plastic curtains. Those work. So we're definitely physical barriers or that 6 feet distancing. Also, you're going to see employees wearing facial coverings. That is a mandatory requirement by the state. However, there are several exceptions. And in regards to a restaurant, if you see someone in a flat top grill or another job that where they're maybe in front of something that's very, very hot for hours on end, they may not be wearing a mask. That could be a safety factor. It could be a workplace, a job hazard, in front of a 500-degree oven or a 500-degree grill for 8 hours at a clip. That may be a safety factor. So that employee may not be wearing a face mask. But people in the front of the house, people behind a bar, they should be wearing face masks.
Mm.
But also some other stuff. Those employees, they're going to do a daily symptom assessment. If they're not feeling well, they're to stay home. All the employers, it's a mandatory requirement that they provide some type of COVID-19 education to their employees. Now, this can be done a variety of ways. It can be an official way or just kind of going over some of the paperwork we've been giving out, just to make everybody aware. Now, a couple things that should have already been going on, and they'll be emphasized moving forward, hand washing. Especially in the food industry, hand washing is a key way to prevent any type of illness being transmitted. In regards to COVID, absolutely, but there's a variety of foodborne illnesses, whether it's a norovirus. That's usually a fecal-oral route where people need to be washing their hands when they're using the bathroom. Or if you're handling a raw product in regards to a salmonella or an E. coli or giardia, people need to be washing their hands. I can't emphasize that enough. Our inspectors emphasize that in inspections even before the COVID came on. That is, and hopefully this is happening frequently where the public will see that. The public will see people going to the restrooms or going to the hand sinks washing their hands. But one of the big things that was written into the mandatory requirements for restaurants, following the food code. The food code is there to keep people safe, to prevent cross contact, to prevent cross contamination. So for restaurants, this shouldn't be new. This is something they should have been doing, they are doing, and they will be doing. So that's going to be a big point of emphasis moving forward. Maybe some other things that are new in regards to a restaurant. Every restaurant or bar needs to post for their employees a kitchen floor plan. This establishes safe social distancing guidelines and follows, you know, the state guidance. What this distancing plan will be, it'll show how the employees are to be spaced out in the restaurant. You know, gone are the days where bartenders will be back to back. We need to have that distancing. I actually did an interview yesterday, and something that came up, we were talking about, you know, when people come down and they sit at a table, you're not going to see ketchup bottles, salt and pepper shakers on a table anymore. That's gone. Probably a waitress will be bringing that to you, but those are considered high-touch surfaces, so they will need to be cleaned frequently after every use. So those shouldn't be on tables. Absolutely, and that's part of the mandatory requirement, too. So that'll be something new to see. A couple other things, salad bars, self-serve areas. Those are no longer going to be there, or if you do see a salad bar or a self-serve area, you won't be serving yourself anymore. It'll be an employee from the establishment giving you your food or helping serve your food. Those are a couple things I just want to bring up that it's kind of going to be a new way of life. And as of right now, a big question I've been getting from businesses is about, Tyler, you know, I want to bring people in, but I also want to do entertainment. As of right now, any type of entertainment is prohibited in restaurants and bars. So there shouldn't be any video games on. There'll be no more pool tables or maybe pool cues out where you'll even be able to play on a pool table. No more pinball machines, arcade games. No more dancing. You won't see bands or DJs for the time being. And those are some big mandatory requirements I think the public is going to see right away.
You know, Tyler, this brings up two interesting questions to me, and I'll hit with the first one here. I was thinking about this last week. So, if you go into a restaurant or bar starting on Thursday, we have this 6 feet rule where if you're in there sitting and eating, you have to be 6 feet away from somebody else. And I think about just the square footage, and I don't want to pick on any bar or restaurant in Marion, sure. But being here for quite a while, you know, I've probably been in most of them. That's not a lot of room. In some of these places, especially the bars, which tend to be smaller, some of the restaurants tend to be smaller, I wouldn't think you could get a whole lot of people in there at this point, with tables having to be 6 feet apart.
Yeah, you know, I've been talking to some bar owners, and for some of the older buildings, they're not a perfect square shape. They could be a long, you know, type of Lego rectangular shape, honestly, and it's really hard for them to meet that. But I will tell you, something the governor's done that's different than a lot of states, instead of saying, all right, 50% capacity, so half the tables, take out or put the chairs up and not use. Well, Ohio, they're not using that. They're going by the 6 foot. So there are a lot of restaurants and bars, even some bars I've been working with just as of last night. They have the spacing. They have a dance floor. Well, you're not allowed to use dance floors anymore. What can you do? You pull a couple tables out there. You've got more seating. Maybe they've had more seating now than what they previously had because some of those entertainment areas you can't use. So they're adding more tables.
That's very interesting. Now, Tyler, when this all goes into effect, because these will be the rules starting Thursday, two questions I have. Number one, how long do you think this will be in effect? And number two, will your group be out inspecting these places? Because I imagine there'll be a lot of people out on Thursday and Friday, Memorial Day weekend. And if they're in violation of this, what will happen?
Absolutely. And first off, Scott, I'm a slow dude, so let me take this one at a time.
I know. There was more than two questions in there once I got it out.
No, that's fine. I may have to have you repeat one of those. So let me hit your second question first, because that's what I remember. I will say, my division, I have some awesome, amazing employees. I employ some very hardworking people. And what these sanitarians have been doing, when COVID, came on in March, we looked at our program and we said, let's just kind of focus on the core programs. You know, we don't want to reduce services to the county. That's not what we do here. So maybe some programs that weren't started up yet, or normally we would kind of do some pre-inspections like campgrounds and pools, we said, we can put those off a few months. But we have been focusing on our food inspections. During COVID, this has been a new way of life for us, Scott. It's a lot more carryout that restaurants have done, and we've had a lot of restaurants that never did carry out, or maybe it was just a small percentage of their sales. We've had some grocery stores that's never seen this amount of people. So we've been out. I've had two inspectors out working with all these restaurants and grocery stores. And also, we've kept our sewage and water program alive. We're focusing every Tuesday. If someone needs a well dug or needs a water sample, or, my septic tank went out and I need to put a new one in, I have an inspector helping out getting that expedited and licensed. We've also been following up on our nuisances. I know that's a big part of the city and county, and so we felt this was a program we could possibly keep going. So we've been focusing on our core services. Oh, and I'd be remiss to say, we've also kept our plumbing program going. If there's an emergency, let's say something happens at a restaurant where some plumbing breaks, we don't want to hold them up. So we've had our program going where you can get a licensed and permitted and sell those permits pretty quick, to be honest with you. So we have been maintaining all of the critical infrastructure to this county during COVID.
Now,
in regards to your question, so we're still going to be inspecting this week. We have been inspecting. But I will tell you, we will be focusing Memorial Day weekend's coming up, but we got a lot of things opening soon. So my inspectors, we're going to be stretched pretty thin this week, but we will be following up on everything. And I want to hit the second part of that question, too, about if we get complaints. We're following up on all the COVID complaints we get. We're getting a lot of complaints about people not wearing masks, but we are violating people. And if people have more than one violation, I'm sending that to the county prosecutor. Definitely.
So people better follow the rules, I guess is the way to put it at this point.
Absolutely, and honestly, we're trying to get out as much information as we can. Just today, we're putting together all of our pool guidance to send that out to all our pool operators, because that's coming up in a couple weeks. But I will say, a lot of stuff, I think what the public doesn't realize, we get this information when the public does. I don't get a heads up. I'm not being told things, hey, Tyler, get prepared, restaurants are coming. My staff and I guess some of my staff and I, because they're mostly out in the field, but we're glued to our computer screens at 2 every day, what's the governor going to say? sometimes, you know, it's a little, but such as Thursday, it was a lot. So we're sitting waiting for that guidance. I'm refreshing my computer at midnight, 1 a.m., because that's when a lot of this guidance comes out very late at night. To try to, I got to wrap my head around it, because we get questions pretty quick. I got questions right after the call Thursday. Tyler, what can I do with my pool? What's going on with my pool? I got calls from gyms, you know, itching, chomping at the bit to get open. And so we have to take a beat. Everybody in the health department, we take a beat. We read up on the information because we want to give correct and accurate answers, you know, to our interpretation. And if there's something that may be a gray area, we've got the county prosecutor's office to help us out in those situations.
Now, Tyler, I know we don't have a magic ball or a crystal ball, but how we don't have a vaccination for this COVID yet. We don't know what the numbers are going to look like once these restaurants open back up. We don't know how people are going to comply, how that's all going to work. We know in Columbus this past weekend we saw some establishments that were not complying with the outdoor rulings. So there's Governor DeWine said yesterday there'll be some more strict penalties for doing things that they should not be doing. How long would you, if you had to guess, see this lasting for restaurants and pools and things of that nature?
It's going to be time is perception, and to me, it's going to be a long time. You know, but that's where it's incumbent upon the public to take some personal responsibility, to be out of harm's way, to wear a mask, to keep that social distancing. I don't know about you, Scott, but I've been going out to grocery stores. I have a one-year-old who I definitely want to keep safe, and my wife has been fortunate to work from home with her, so I'm kind of the person designated, hey, you're going to the grocery store. You put yourself at risk every day at the health department, you can go to the grocery store. You know, and I go there, and just walking down an aisle, you know, some people keep their space, which you definitely appreciate, but then some other people will get real close to you. And I'm the type of guy, I don't like people breathing down my neck in the first place. But if I'm going down an aisle, and somebody wants to get a can right by me, they're not going to be, you know, some people aren't patient and just go right next to you, maybe even brush you by and touch you. You know, it's things like that that we need to stop. You know, we need to give people their distance. You know, wearing a mask, I see that as a, you know, personally, I want to wear that. That's a sign of respect. I want to keep your mother safe. I want to keep your grandparents safe. That, you know, not only for me, but for you as well.
Tyler, I know a lot of business owners listen to this program because I've heard back from them. In the public, the mask thing is kind of confusing. Now, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong here, the masks are not mandatory, but the business owner can institute that the public coming in wear masks. Now, as far as the employees go, what are the rules from the health department, from the state at this point, as far as masks? So who should be wearing a mask in a restaurant?
If I'm being honest, everybody. Now, if you're going in there, obviously you can't eat a hamburger and wear a mask. But if I'm a customer, I can wear that mask up until when my food comes, and then I can take it off and eat. In regards to, and I will say there's always exceptions, I'll go through those here in a minute. But in regards to employers, right now, for businesses, no matter who you are, I've been working since May 4th with, you know, manufacturing, and on the 12th it was sales and retail. One thing that's been consistent in all of the director's orders have been facial coverings. Now, there are exceptions. I know I brought up one, is if you see someone at a restaurant, usually in back of the house, if they're in front of a grill, you know, maybe that's not the safe thing. But there are seven main exceptions to the facial covering rule. You know, one is that maybe in your work, it's prohibited by law or regulation. Or maybe it's in violation of documented industry standards. And also, there's an exception if the facial covering isn't advisable for health reasons. and maybe they're in violation of a business's documented safety practices. And facial coverings are required when an employee works in a single assigned work area. And then lastly, if it's not practical or functional for an employee to wear a facial covering, then that would be an exception too. However, for any of these exceptions, the business must have written justification. So if I get a complaint, my inspector comes, and let's say someone meets one of these seven rules. If there is not written justification, we will violate. This is all plain and clear. It's all in the governor's language. So this is what we're following.
Tyler, I think one of the biggest confusions last week, and it was the one we got the most questions on, were the pools. Now, here in Marion, the big pool, without question, where most people go, is the Aquatic Center. And the question is, how can you wear a mask and get in the pool? How can you possibly stay 6 feet apart? How can you possibly deal with the total number of people you're allowed to have in a certain area? How can the Aquatic Center open at this point? And if it does, what does that look like?
Sure. And you know what? This answer isn't just going to be for the Aquatic Center. We have 32 or 36 total pools and spas in our county. And believe me, they all get a lot of use. I used to be the pool inspector too, and Lincoln Park definitely is very large. We do have other pools a lot of people go to. First thing, nobody should be wearing a mask in a pool. I don't want any drowning hazards. That's not something we need to do. So physically swimming, that is a hazard. So that is one thing that I will say, that's more or less, I don't want to say it's a common sense thing, but especially if you have a young kid wearing a mask in a pool, that's a drowning hazard. And we definitely do not want that. I will tell you, Scott, this has been a pretty hot topic. I got calls from my operators this weekend since the governor came out with stuff. I've been talking to a lot of pools about this. And if you go through the governor's order, technically, while you're swimming in the water, if there's anybody not in your same household, people should be staying 6 feet away from each other in the water and outside the water. Now, pools can do this. Pools have a lot of options, actually. I was just going over this last night, actually. I got pools on the brain, so I'm glad you asked me. It's up to pools to develop their maximum capacity. Every pool is different. Every pool shape is different. Every pool deck is different. Lincoln Park is going to be a lot bigger and have a lot more leeway with how to space people than a hotel pool. That's just a little square with a short deck. So it's up to the pool to implement a reduced maximum capacity to allow that 6 foot distance. So we're relying on our pools because they have the knowledge about each and every one of their square footage to be able to give us that number. But both on the deck and in the pool, we want people staying at 6 feet. Now, maybe, because you're thinking, Tyler, how are they going to do that? Well, there are lane lines, but that may not be the answer for every pool. So maybe it's just putting a very small piece of reflective tape, maybe every 6 feet, on a deck. Just so people kind of know, all right, this is where a 6 foot marking is. But you will see something different. I will say one thing, Scott, that's going to be kind of surprising to all of us. In regards to pools, they're going to need to be cleaning constantly. There's a lot of high-touch surfaces at pools. I'm the type of guy, I love to just jump in a pool, go to the deep end and jump in. But you got people like my wife who just like to go little bit by little bit, maybe through steps and a railing or through a ladder. Those ladders, those railings, are going to be needed to be cleaned very frequently. There's going to be a lot of people touching those, so they're going to be needed to be cleaned. Maybe pools that offer pool noodles. You may say, all right, you got a noodle, that's yours for the day. And at the end of the day, they sanitize them. Or if they let people take them and return them, they're going to need to be sanitized after every use, cleaned and sanitized. So any type of shared equipment like that. You know, I know some pools have little paddle boards. You just put your, you know, you hang on with your hands, and then you just swim with your feet. Those are going to be needed to be cleaned frequently. So this is going to be something I think the public sees when they're out at pools, all of the cleaning that's going on.
It's going to be a very interesting Memorial Day weekend, and I think a very interesting summer for your office and for us all. What an interesting world we live in at this particular point. Tyler, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I'm so glad that you listen and so glad we were able to hook up finally, and I hope this is not the last visit, because I think there are going to be a lot more questions as time goes on with this whole pandemic and the rules that we follow.
No, Scott, I appreciate that, and your radio program is an important vessel to all of our businesses and the public. So anytime you need myself or an employee, anybody to come on here and talk about it, you're doing everybody a favor. You know, you could even say you're saving lives. This stuff, this virus is nasty. This virus can hurt, it can kill. So any type of education we can get, anytime somebody can learn how to prevent this or to stay away from it, we're helping everybody, my buddy.
Tyler, thank you so much, and we will talk again soon.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Tyler Pigman, the Environmental Health Director here in Marion at the Marion Public Health Office. Now, Tracy Kinsler, I think she was listening out there, and she should be joining us momentarily. We had some questions submitted for Tracy yesterday, so I want to make sure that we get these questions answered. So, Tracy, anytime you're ready, just call us up, and we will get you on the air. Now, that is a very interesting synopsis, and I think very detailed, what Tyler just did for us in regard to pools, in regard to what is going on with restaurants. And as we continue on this morning, we are joined by our friend, Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. Tracy, boy, a lot of information from Tyler there. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, it sure was. I'm glad he was able to come on.
Yeah, thank you so much for setting that up, and I'm glad he was able to come on as well. We had some questions, and I want to make sure we get these in, that listeners wanted to know. Specifically wanted you to answer, Tracy. Okay. We had heard about this mini outbreak of COVID at Heartland here in Marion, but then we didn't hear any more about it. Was it taken care of? Are things going well? So just basically an update on that.
Sure. So Heartland is it's a continuing outbreak. So they right now have 21 positive patients. They have six staff members who are positive. And what they're doing is continuing to test. So, you know, we've talked before about just because somebody tests negative today doesn't mean they won't be positive tomorrow. So all the people who tested negative, so they've tested everybody, let me say that. They've tested everybody. And they're continuing to monitor the people who are negative. And if they start to show signs of symptoms, they're trying to catch it really early, so they're retesting them. So they're kind of testing still all along. And the reason they're doing that is, one, because they want to be able to treat people's symptoms, but two, they want to be able to isolate those who are positive from those who are negative. So they have sort of a dedicated space in their facility where all of the patients who are positive for COVID are being housed, and they're being treated there so that they can kind of keep the negative people separated. So it continues to just grow, and they're doing a good job of following all the protocols that the state has put in place for nursing homes, and they're trying to be proactive. So it is still ongoing, and, you know, we're kind of waiting to see, you know, it's how it runs its course.
Tracy, the other question was, and I think this is a big question for a lot of us, there was a big front page article on USA Today, I believe last Thursday, that now that things are back open, social distancing is down. And the question yesterday was, with 80 and 90 degree weather on its way, Memorial Day on its way, is it really realistic that people will continue to wear these masks all through summer and in public and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I know that, you know, it kind of remains to be seen, and I think it will depend a lot on what happens with this outbreak in the next few weeks. If we start to see a spike in cases and hospitalizations and systems start to get overwhelmed, I think people will continue, you know, it will kind of become fresh in people's minds again. I have to wear my mask, I have to stay home, things like that. But I think if we don't see that happening, people will probably, you know, continue to get looser and looser with these restrictions, especially as stuff opens and you start out the day with really good intentions, but by the end of the day you realize all of the things that you did that you probably shouldn't have done, and I think that's just human nature. So it's all part of figuring out how to live with this pandemic, you know, and at Public Health, we're trying to prevent as much as we can, but the fact of the matter is that we're all human beings, and we're in the middle of a pandemic, and at some point, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen despite our best efforts. So, you know, we're still shooting for that 80% that Dr. Acton talks about a lot, you know, getting it right 80% of the time. So when you are in the stores where there is air conditioning, hopefully people will wear their masks there. But yeah, I'm just as interested to see what's going to happen as everybody else is.
Tracy, this past weekend, I think because there was some changing in the rules, barbershops open, hair salons, outdoor seating restaurants, I saw people out who I had not seen probably since mid-March. I saw places get busier. Do you think, and I did see a lot fewer people wearing masks, do you think people think this is over?
I do. I think that people kind of feel like the restrictions are over, the numbers, you know, are plateauing a little bit, and I think people, you know, are feeling a little bit too comfortable. Certainly when I drive around town and I had gotten used to it kind of being a ghost town, and now there are so many people out kind of everywhere I go, and, you know, as a public health professional, it kind of gives me that knot in my stomach of what's going to happen next, and I hope people will realize that it's not over, that we do expect additional waves, we do expect outbreaks, and I'll tell you, I didn't have a chance this morning to look, but we get alerts from the different counties around the state when they have an outbreak, in case we have somebody who lives here, we can tie them to that outbreak. And businesses and factories and stuff are popping up all over the state now that have outbreaks, and we didn't see that before. So it's definitely not over, and people still need to be cautious. And, you know, we hope for the best. We hope that you're not going to get it, or that if you do, you're going to be asymptomatic, but you just never know, and it's a big risk, you know, to not take it seriously.
Tracy, Tyler pointed out some very interesting things there. What is going to happen in just a couple days when the restaurants open on the 21st? 6 feet away, the tables have to be. The pools, when they open, you still have to have the 6 feet away. Is that, in your mind, doable? Like I said, there are some small bars here in town. There are some small restaurants. Is it possible for them to have that little bit of seating and keep the doors open? I don't know how this all works. It seems interesting.
It does seem interesting, and I hope that they're able to figure out a way to make it work. And, you know, they say on the conference, press conferences, you know, if you can't make it work, you have to stay closed. And that's, you know, easy for people to say who are not in the business and who don't have their, you know, livelihood riding on it. And so I hope it's a time people get creative and really try. And the other thing is, I hope that the public doesn't put too much pressure on these businesses to break rules. You know, that relationship between the customer and the business owner is a really important one. And putting those business owners in a bad situation where they have to tell people to leave, or, you know, tell people to put their masks on, and people getting angry and things like that is, you know, that's going to make this so much harder. So please, everybody, just try to, you know, support your business by doing the right thing and not putting them in a bad situation where, you know, somebody's always going to complain, and whether they complain to us or they complain to this new state task force that's been assigned to restaurants and bars, you know, somebody always complains. So don't put your business owner in that, you know, position. But yeah, I think it's going to be really hard. But the other thing is, it's so important, that 6 feet is so important, because if you have a positive case, so if you and I are both at the same restaurant and we're not 6 feet apart, we've been moseying through, you know, the bar area, and I end up positive, I'm going to be asked, who was I in close contact with closer than 6 feet for more than 10 minutes? And all of those people then become contacts. So if you're sitting at your table 6 feet away from me for the entire time, you know, and we didn't get close, you're not a contact. You don't have to worry about it. But if we're all tied in that restaurant all together, then the whole place can become, you know, possible COVID cases. So it's very important.
Tracy, he was talking about the pools. We talked a little bit about the pools last week before we actually knew that they were going to reopen. Mm-hmm. The aquatic center is huge. It's just a big place. A lot of people go there. There are other pools, obviously, in the county, as Tyler was pointing out there. You know, I'm as hopeful as anybody, but is that really logically doable at a place like the Aquatic Center, that you can, somebody's going to be there, a lifeguard, whoever it may be, to say you can't get within 6 feet of the water of this other person? That
right.
That would, to me, seem very, very difficult.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to be really hard, and you know, it'll be up to us to, you know, when we're visiting the pool, to try to keep our distance as much as we can. But when you're in the pool and you're swimming, you can't, you know, avoid everybody. It gets too tangled up there. So just monitor yourself and your risk level and say, is it worth me going to the pool where I'm probably not going to be able to social distance as much as I might want to, you know? And if you have a job where you're, you know, really close to people, you don't want to take it into work, then maybe you don't go to the pool, or you only go when it's, you know, a low attendance day. If you have a chronic condition, maybe you shouldn't go. You know, everybody, we all have to kind of go, what risk am I willing to take, you know? And going to a pool is probably more risky than going to the grocery store.
And Tracy, two quick questions here. Just basically an update on where we are in Marion County as of yesterday. And the other question is, what do you think this summer is going to look like? Because now we kind of know that pretty much everything is going to be open back up, with a few exceptions. So now, what is the summer of 2020 going to look like?
Sure. So I'll start with the numbers. So we had on our total was 2,513 as of 2 o'clock yesterday. 196 of those were community cases, and that does include the Heartland outbreak cases. 81 of those are prison employees, and 115 of those are just other community members. So our numbers continue to climb. We have not yet seen days where we don't have our numbers, you know, going up. So they may only go up by a couple, but they always go up. And then in terms of what I think the summer is going to look like, I kind of think that we will probably have some spikes. We're going to have some outbreaks at workplaces and things like that. I foresee us having some outbreaks among family members who, you know, have parties, get-togethers over the summer, cookouts and things like that. So I think our cases will continue to climb over the summer. I'm hopeful that the majority will be asymptomatic and maybe never even be tested or know they have it. You know, that's kind of, you know, what I wish for. But we always have to prepare for the worst. So we're just kind of keeping on high alert here. We're getting ready to bring on a couple of contractors to help us with contact tracing, because we know that's going to, you know, get worse. So we're preparing for spikes here at the health department. Mm.
Tracy, thank you so much for joining us. Thank Tyler for joining us. And you guys have a great Memorial Day, and we will talk again next Tuesday.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. Tracy Kinsler, Marion Public Health Commissioner, and Tyler Pigman, Environmental Health Director at the Marion Public Health Department. Boy, that's a lot of information. And guess what? More coming at you after the break. The mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Fix it. Or either come to the house and cook. They would eat to the dining room, and you would eat in the kitchen. You come in the back door, and you leave in the back door. And we didn't play it in a case. We just figured time that was like a go